On this day, November 9, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1960, American singer Paul Robeson gave the first recital at Sydney Opera House during an inspection tour of the building under construction.
Robeson was introduced to the workers and he spoke about his relationship with the workers in other countries because he was a prominent figure in the international working class movement.
He don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton. Them their plans are soon forgotten, but old man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, show a little grit, and your land's in jail. But I keep laughing.
That same day here in Canberra, the Postmaster General's Department announced a startling innovation. In a new parking area off Bunda Street in Civic, the department would install an experimental form of letterbox. You could drive right up to it and deposit mail into it without having to leave your car. Over the weekend in 1960, the Wesley Players had presented their major performance of the year, The Passing of the Third Floor Back, to a capacity audience at the Wesley Church's facility in Forest. English writer and humorist Jerome K. Jerome had developed the play in 1908 from his own short story. Methodist minister Dr. G.A. Ween produced the three-act play, which has religious resonances. It depicts the small-minded inhabitants of an apartment building and the way they react when a stranger arrives and seeks to help them to realise their suppressed hopes and desires. Runa Kilby and Charles Spelderwind excelled in their first major roles in a play. On This Day is produced at Artsound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, November 10, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1960, Prime Minister Robert Menzies introduced a bill for the establishment of the National Library of Australia. Menzies said a library planning council with such eminent members as the President of the Senate, Sir Alastair McMullen, was making plans with the National Capital Development Commission. At that point, the plan was that the library would be built somewhere near the lake, on the flank of the proposed new Parliament House. Also in 1960, at the opening of the Artists' Society of Canberra's annual exhibition in Bible House, the Chief of Naval Staff, Sir Henry Burrell, recalled the beauties of Lake Geneva and said he hoped that Canberra's plans for a lake would one day incorporate a giant water jet like the Jet d'Eau in Geneva. 10 years later, in 1970, such a water jet was opened in Lake Burley Griffin's Central Basin. It was near a new Captain James Cook Memorial, a globe structure built to commemorate the bicentenary of James Cook's first sighting of the east coast of Australia. Queen Elizabeth II inaugurated that memorial in April 1970, as well as the National Carillon on Aspen Island with its 53 bronze bells. That was a donation from the British government to commemorate Canberra's 50th anniversary. As for Canberra's Jet d'Eau, it pumps waters to 147 metres at 260 kilometres an hour, 6 tonnes of water at any moment, discharged at 500 litres per second. The city of Geneva allowed Canberra to use its fountain's design, but ours is higher than theirs, just. On This Day is produced at Artsound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, November 11, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1940, personnel of the RAAF attended a special preview performance of George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion, which the Canberra Repertory Society was presenting at Albert Hall to the public on the following day and 2 days after that. The elaborate production was in aid of the Bombing Relief Fund, in which Australians were collecting money to aid with repair of bombing damage in England, as approved under National Security Patriotic Funds regulations. All this week in 1940, feverish preparations were being made. The production got extraordinary daily blow-by-blow coverage in the Canberra Times. It reported, for example, that Mrs. R. E. Richards was organising flowers for sale. Orders had been taken for shoulder sprays, posies, buttonholes or bouquets for presentation to the cast. You could phone her to place orders. Her number was simply 918. On this day in 1960, if you happened to be down at the coast, the Burmagui Tuna Festival was in full swing. It featured a night in Dixieland. It had a mystery minstrel show, a Charleston ballet with a flapper princess and a gay 20s queen. The festival also featured a blessing of the fleet with decorated boats, a gymkhana organised by the Cabargo Pony Club, a procession of decorated floats, and much else. The appropriately named Lawrence C. Bass, United States Consul General, had opened the festival, which would culminate with an aquatic carnival on Wallaga Lake. Lawrence C. Bass, perhaps that was a local joke. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, November 12, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. All this week in 1940, Pygmalion was all the news on Canberra's art scene. The elaborate production was in aid of the Bombing Relief Fund, in which Australians were collecting money to help repair bombing damage in London. Appropriately, that city's Covent Garden was the setting of Pygmalion, George Bernard Shaw's 1913 play. A large public turnout raised £130 for the fund, and the audiences were amply rewarded. The Canberra Reps two-performance production in 1940 at Albert Hall, exhaustively covered in the Canberra Times, was much praised. It is, one reviewer glowed, refreshing to be able to comment favourably on a local production in justice to its merits, rather than in a sense of mercy towards it, laudable though sometimes not altogether convincing efforts. The Reps producers had invited the possible risk of comparison with the film of recent memory, the 1956 musical My Fair Lady, derived from Pygmalion, in which advantages of screen over stage had been liberally exploited. And yet there was neither sign of imitation of the screen nor scope for comparison of the two productions to the detriment of the flesh and blood presentation in Canberra. The producers here were Norman Woods and Elsie Bald. Bald had spent 14 years in Hollywood, 6 with the Fox Film Corporation as a story writer and editor, and had gone on record saying that, in her opinion, such was the acting ability in Canberra that film talent scouts would not waste a visit here. The principal actors were Guildford Bell, Dr. B.T. Dixon, Colin Dean, and most notably Del Milne, a seasoned Canberra performer who, as Liza Doolittle, demonstrated dramatic qualities that were particularly striking. The production's stage design and even lighting were much applauded and detailed in reviews, as you can hear in tomorrow's On This Day. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, November 13, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. As On This Day reported yesterday, in 1940, Pygmalion was all the news this whole week. Its two performances would definitely establish the Canberra Repertory Society as one of the first flight of amateur companies in Australia, wrote one reviewer. All aspects of the production received high praise in the Canberra Times. The stage design by Guildford Bell, who also starred on stage, and Gwen Ewens, was admirably conceived and in keeping with the most attractive style of modern stage arrangement. Lighting designer Horace Horry Thorpe was the focus of a whole column alone, even while making the last touches to the lighting and almost in four places at once. He had always a spare moment to give a word of encouragement. Thorpe mocked up the impressive natural effect of a seemingly working fireplace in Professor Higgins's study. Concealed from the audience by lying on his stomach throughout the scene, Thorpe inhaled smoke from a cigarette and blew it through rubber tubing to the fireplace, where it emerged from logs that glowed with lighting effects. So convincing was the illusion that when Dr. B.T. Dixon, in the role of Colonel Pickering, came on stage, unaware of what Horry Thorpe had rigged up, He was so startled that even as he delivered his lines and feigned equanimity, he investigated the fire to see there was no real cause for alarm. Amongst the large backstage crew was one Freddie White, whose responsibilities included providing a canary in a cage for Professor Higgins's study. Freddie White told the feature writer during one of the two performances, "Brought it down in the bus in a box. It whistled the whole time, but on stage, look at it, not a chirp." Following the second performance on this day in 1940, the company celebrated their rousing success over supper at the King O. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. Listen to episodes online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab.